Green Acres is the place for me. Land spread now so far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside. Hey, everybody. This is Sherry, and this is episode 2 of Write That Down. How are you? I am so glad y'all have stuck around for number 2. Y'all, it's been a crazy couple weeks. I'm just going to tell you. I had to drive to Charleston for a couple of meetings this week. And it's been a long time since I've been in 5 o'clock Charleston traffic. I am not cut out for it. I've never been cut out for it. But I'm going to tell you what. It is just getting worse and worse and worse. And they are building and building, and they are getting closer and closer to us. And it's just a mess. I have 3 times in the last 2 weeks been stuck on 78. And for those of you who live here, you know exactly where I'm talking about. Stuck on 78 with them stopping traffic for construction. Now, they are widening that part of the highway and turning 2 lanes into 4 lanes, and it is a fuster cluck. It is nothing for you to sit in the road stopped for 15 minutes or more while you wait on traffic to come through the construction from the other side. Now, a couple of times I have sat there, I know at least 5 minutes, and the first car has not gone by. And I'm thinking, why are we sitting here? The cars down there are not coming here. The cars that are in line with me are not going there. Why have they got traffic stopped? I mean, come on. I don't know who the engineers are who, you know, have decided that this is how it's supposed to work. I don't know. All I know is, you know, there's got to be a better system. You know, I say let 20 cars through, stop traffic, let 20 cars through from the other side. Boom, boom, boom. Everybody's moving. Instead, we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're not going anywhere. And I don't get it. I do know one thing. I believe the Chick-fil-A parking drive-through engineers could take this fuster cluck and have everybody zooming through there in no time. I mean, it would be boom, 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 boom. I can't stand it. Y'all, I'm telling y'all, I was so happy to get back on my end of the county and out of all of that traffic, and there were no buildings. It was nothing but trees and woods and the most beautiful sunsets. And yes, we have to drive a country mile to get anywhere. But by God, I don't have to drive in it every day. And by God, I don't have to live in it. And I think when I run out of eggs, I run up to the grocery store. Well, the grocery store is only 3 miles away. That's fine. If you run out of eggs and you live in Charleston and you got to go to the grocery store, it might only be 3 miles away too. But guess what? It's going to take you 30 minutes to travel 3 miles. And that's just going to the grocery store. That's not waiting to come out of the parking lot. That's another 15 minutes. And then another 30 minutes to drive 3 miles back home. And no. Sherry's not going to do it. Sherry is not going to do it. So, I love my Green Acres. Let me tell y'all about my mama. Last weekend, we went and we were gone Friday, Saturday, and Sunday somewhere all weekend. Well, Saturday, we went to a little mom and pop flower shop / fruit stand / vegetable stand / tchotchkes store. And I picked up some peaches because I wanted to make a peach cobbler. Well, don't talk to me about your peach cobbler. I don't even want your recipe because nobody's got a better recipe than mine. Anybody who's had it will tell you it is to die for. So we pick up the peaches. I immediately tell Mama that they're not quite ripe enough to make the cobbler, so we're going to have to wait a couple days for them to basically ripen / rotten. A peach is never so sweet as it is just before it goes bad. And if anybody really loves peaches like I do, they know what I'm talking about. They get so sweet and so soft and just so perfect right before they go bad. So you have to really time your cooking, your eating, your cobbler making just right. So anyway, fast forward a couple days. I'm still waiting on the peaches to get really, really, really soft. My mom knows that I'm headed to Charleston for this meeting, and that I'm heading to Charleston in this meeting at 5:00 traffic. Knockoff time. Everybody and their brother's trying to get home, get to the store, whatever. I'm at a stoplight in the middle of Dorchester Road. There's literally 532 cars in front of me, all trying to make a left turn with me. And my mother, who has been following me on Find a Friend, knows that I'm in this traffic and knows that I'm a nervous wreck about it. And she sends me a text message and she says, "Hey, you want to give me your peach cobbler recipe? I think I'll make this cobbler while you're gone." What? I texted back and I said, "Traffic, period, can't, period." So, ha 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 ha, you know, I make my turn after 2 hours. Get to where I'm going. I stop. I call Mama and I tell her I'm here. Here's the recipe. I text the recipe to her. I have my meeting. I come home. I stop by her house. She's got the cobbler right out of the oven. I ate 2 plates, and I'm not going to lie, and I don't care. I don't care who knows. I ate 2 plates of hot peach cobbler, and it was so good, and I don't care who knows. I ate 2 plates, and I can eat 2 plates because I'm already fat. I have nothing to lose, literally. I have nothing to lose. People talk all the time about how hard it is to work out and stay skinny, you know, and have this great body. And I'm thinking, well, do y'all know how hard it is to have a body like this? This takes work. This takes a lot of work. You know, I have to eat well. I have to eat very well to maintain these thighs and this pooch and this, you know, my second and third and fourth chin. All of those things rely on me to keep them in this condition, and I take my responsibility very seriously. So yes, I ate 2 plates of peach cobbler, and I didn't die in traffic to get it made, so that's a plus. Thank you, Jesus. So I got my little girl coming this weekend. I got a big weekend coming up. I'm turning 55. I'm going with my girlfriends to see Bon Jovi Saturday night. We have seen them in concert every other year since 1983, I think. So I don't know how many concerts that makes, but it's a lot of concerts. I'd say we're a little devoted. Other people might say a little demented, but we're faithful followers. We are Bon Jovi groupies, and we have been rocking the place with them since 1983. We have rocked them all, and we have so many wonderful stories. Ugh, I could talk about our road trips to see Bon Jovi for days, but I won't. Anyway, seeing Bon Jovi this weekend. My little girl's coming this weekend, my granddaughter, so she will be hanging out with her dad Saturday night while I am at the concert. She FaceTimed me yesterday, also while I was in heavy traffic, and although I was in heavy traffic, I could not take a FaceTime from my granddaughter. So, push the little button and her little adorable face pops up and she's holding this little tiny little black and white kitten. And she says, Mim, Mim. That's what my grandchildren call me, by the way. Mim, look, look, mommy found a kitten at work. And it was under her car and we brought her home. And I said, oh, she's adorable. What's her name? And she said, her name is Oreo. And I said, okay, well, Mim can't talk right now. I'm in really bad traffic trying to get to a meeting. And I'll call you back tonight when I get out, okay? And she says, okay, one more thing. Mommy says we can't keep the cat. And if I want to keep the cat, he has to come live at your house. Bye. Click. What? What did she just say? So, apparently, when we pick Ella up tomorrow, she will be bringing with her a cat. Now, I love cats, don't get me wrong. I've had several in my life that have lived anywhere from 11 to 14 years that I have dearly loved. But I've also had dogs all of my life, all of my adult life as well. And the cats that I've had in the past were raised with my dogs. Therefore, they've all gotten along. I have a 4-year-old chocolate lab now who has never been around a cat. And she chases every squirrel, every bird in the yard, everything that moves at the speed of lightning, she chases. And then she brings these gifts home to me like, look, Mama, I made this just for you. Isn't it beautiful? Plop. Y'all, I can't bring a cat to this house. My dog is grown. She will not grow up with this kitten. She will think it is yet one more thing that she can chase and shred and bring to me as a gift. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't have them in the same house together. Now, Katie stays outside. She's my dog. She stays outside during the day, but she comes in every night. The cat obviously would have to stay inside because I can't trust Katie with the cat. I don't know. I mean, how do I get signed up for these things? You know, Mom says the cat has to come home with me and live at your house. Okay, bye. Click. Y'all know anybody who needs a black and white cat this weekend? Like, in the next couple days? Let me know. Anyway, let's see. I had a very emotional morning, and I had to turn my car around this morning and right a wrong. Every morning without fail, I stop at one of the gas stations in town on my way to the office because, excuse me, because I have to have a mean bean Java monster every morning. Gotta have one. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to take a couple sips of water. I have to have a Java monster every morning. They're so good. I mean, it's like cracking a can. And if you've ever had a beverage that you love that much, you know exactly what I mean when I say it's like cracking a can. It is like crack in a can. Now, I've never tried crack, but I can only imagine if they put crack in a can and it tasted like Mean Bean Java Monster. That is exactly what crack in a can would taste like. So I make my usual stop. I go in and it never fails. There's always someone in line ahead of me who is either purchasing scratch-off tickets and they can't decide between number 2, number 7, or number 8. They're buying blunts. They're putting $7 in the gas tank and spending the rest of that 50 on scratch-off tickets and lottery tickets and ganja devices. Oh, Lord, it is just rampant in this area. And it's always going to happen to me especially if I'm late. I am going to get behind somebody in line who can't make up their mind what they want. They're going to purchase one item at a time, receive the change from the cashier, and before, just when you think, oh gosh, finally, and you go to take that step to move up in line, they go, okay, now I'd like a pack of Newports. And I'm like, what? Did she not just ring you up? Why didn't you tell her you wanted Newports when you were making your other purchases? Step back in line. So anyway, go in. There's a young man in front of me, and he is buying some blunts. And if y'all don't, some of y'all don't know what a blunt is, I'm not going to explain it to you because that would take a whole other show. So ask your kids, ask your neighbors, ask your younger friends what a blunt is. Anyway, he's buying blunts. But here's the gist. He was nervous about buying these blunts because there was a law enforcement officer in the store at the other end of the counter. Now, he was chatting it up with the cashiers on the other end of the counter. But this young man was whispering to the clerk, I want two great blunts. And the young man behind the counter was going, sir, I can't hear you. What did you say? And he's motioning to this young guy that, you know, he's not wanting to talk real loud because he doesn't want the LE to know he's buying blunts. So, finally, they connect on some kind of psychic level. You know, it's like, I see you, you see me, oh, I know what you want. Okay, got it. He makes the purchase. He buys the blunts. The young man behind the counter goes to give him his change, and he's short 3 pennies. He has no pennies in his drawer, so he takes out a roll of pennies and proceeds to crack open this roll of pennies at the speed of molasses. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm never going to get out of here. This morning will not end. I will not get to the office on time. I cannot believe this. So the young man with the blunts, who's very anxious to get out of the store before the law enforcement officer sees he's purchased said blunts, looks at the dude and says, that's okay, man. I don't need the pennies. And he goes out the store. Well, by this time, I'm not livid and I'm not fuming. I'm frustrated because I've stood in line for 10 minutes waiting on this guy who is obviously not employed, purchasing blunts at 8 o'clock in the morning while me, who is employed, is waiting in line behind him trying to get to my job. And how do I know he wasn't employed? I could tell by the way he was dressed he was not employed, because I don't know anywhere who would employ someone that was dressed in that manner. So maybe it was medicinal. Maybe he's got glaucoma. I don't know. You know, maybe the kid is riddled with cancer. So don't judge me. Don't judge me for saying anything about this kid buying blunts at 8 o'clock in the morning, because truly I don't know his story. All I know is he was leery and nervous about making the purchase with a law enforcement officer in the building. So I finally get up to the counter and I am just, and this young guy who is the clerk, he's obviously new. I've never seen him in there before. A clerk that I do know is trying to, you know, kind of telling him what to do from here to there and everywhere. And he is fiddling with this roll of pennies and fighting like the devil to get like the last 10 pennies out of this roll. And meanwhile, I'm just standing and waiting and waiting. And I said, look, you are going to make me late for work. You need to help me. And then you can figure out those pennies after I'm gone, because I'm paying with a debit card and I don't need any of those pennies. He apologized. He put the pennies down. And the second I said it, I felt lower than a snake on the ground. And I thought, why did I do that? Why did I talk to that young man that way? But I did. I said it because I was frustrated. And to make matters worse, he and the clerk that I do know were talking about a certain type of food. and what they liked and what they didn't like. So to help things a little bit and maybe kind of make me look less than a butthole, I join in on the conversation. Well, unbeknownst to me, this young man couldn't talk and ring up my items at the same time. So he's standing there and he's holding my Mean Bean in his hand and he won't scan it because he's telling me what kind of barbecue he likes. And I'm thinking, oh my God, ring up the Mean Bean, dude. I've got to go. I've got to go. So this goes on and on. And finally I say, look, ring up my stuff, dude. I gotta go. We can talk about barbecue later, but I gotta go. So he fumbles around and and I pay for everything. I slide my card, put in my pen, I'm gone. The minute I got in the car, my heart just felt so heavy. And I'm going to tell y'all, if y'all have never had God speak to you before, you have no idea what it's like and how it feels. But for those of you who have literally had the Lord speak to your heart and lay his hands on your heart, you know what I'm talking about. My heart was so heavy and I felt so horrible, but I put my car in reverse and I left the gas station. And I got about a half a mile down the road, and the whole time I can just hear in my head this voice saying, it's not his fault that you were late. You were running late before you ever left the house. If you had left the house on time, you wouldn't have got caught behind that other young man, and you wouldn't be late to work. It's not your fault. This is all on you, and you need to make it right. Oh yeah, I need to make it right. So I turned around and I went back to the gas station, and I went up in that gas station with all of those customers in there, all of the employees in there, and I walked straight up to that counter. And I had already told myself, you're not going to cry. You are not going to cry. You have been a total jerk. You are a horrible human being for saying what you said to him. But you are not going to cry. Don't do it. Well, that's just, you might as well have told me to go ahead and do it. Because I cry at the drop of a hat. I just do. It's who I am. Can't help it. And I walked up to the counter. And I told him. I said, you are working hard. You are in here contributing to society, and you are doing a great job. And God just wanted me to tell you that. And I also, I want to apologize to you because I feel horrible. It is not your fault that I was late this morning. I was already running late before I ever got here, and that is all on me. And my attitude towards you is all on me. It has nothing to do with you. And I'm so very sorry for making you feel that way. And I said, your mama is proud of you. Now, on a side note, I don't know his mama. I don't even know who this kid is. I'd never laid eyes on him before. But I know whoever his mama is, she's grateful that her son was on the job at 8 o'clock this morning and not buying blunts at 8 o'clock this morning. Now, there again, I'm not judging Blunt Boy. Blunt Boy might need it for his glaucoma. He might need it for his cancer. He may have leukemia. I have no idea. So I'm not judging him. I'm just basing an opinion. But I had to make it right. And the alligator tears are just coming down my cheeks. I'm ruining my makeup. And I'm thinking, Lord, why do you talk to me like this? right before I'm going to work. I know why he talks to me like this, because I need it. I need someone to jack me up sometimes when I'm a total jerk. I need it. We all need it. That kid needed to know he was doing a good job. That kid needed to know that somebody was proud of him. And that kid needed to know that my attitude had absolutely nothing to do with him or how he was doing his job. And I hope he forgives me. He said it was no problem, that he understood my frustration, and that he hoped that my day got better. And I said, honey, my day has gotten better because I have come here and I have made it right with you. Now, the lady that I do know that works in there said, oh, Miss Sherry is never ugly. She's so always so nice, and she's always got a smile on her face, and she's always making us laugh. She's just having a bad morning. And I said, you know what? I am having a bad morning. I said, but again, it is not this kid's fault. It is not his fault. That is all on me. So if y'all have never had the Lord talk to you before, I'm so sorry. Do y'all hear the train coming through? If you can hear the train coming through, I do apologize. I live in the South, and I live less than a mile from the railroad tracks, and there it is. It's about time for it. The only thing I don't hear is my Hershey howling. I lost my dog back in March. He was 11, my chocolate lab, and he used to howl at the train like there was no tomorrow. Anyway, I got off track. If you've not had God reach down and just squeeze your heart, I encourage you to get closer to Him. I encourage you to be open to those moments, because they will change your life. You know, I don't know how I changed anybody's life today. I can tell you whose life I changed. I changed mine. I changed my life. Because I took responsibility for what I did. I took responsibility for being ugly to that kid. And I should have never been ugly to him. But it changed my life today. And tomorrow, something else will change my life again, because I am a work in progress, and I don't care if I am 55 or 95, I will always be a work in progress. If you have ever had God talk to you before, you know exactly where I'm coming from, and it is the most profound, surreal experience that you will ever have. And I'll be honest with you, this is only about the fifth time in 55 years that I've had the Lord talk to me. But it's real. It happens. And it will make you sit straight up and do what needs to be done to make things right. It will straighten you out, because I got straightened out today. Now, let me tell you, I felt better after I went back and talked to him. I really did. I still feel like a jerk, though, because I should have never talked to him that way. But don't we all do that sometimes? Don't we all say things that we don't mean, and we say them in the heat of the moment, and although it's, you know, it's not that person's fault, they're just the vessel that we put our angst into, and why do we do that? I have no idea. I guess it's human nature to take it out on those who are closest to us, or those who are in our presence at the moment. It's very disheartening, and I don't like it. I don't like it, and I try so hard not to be that person, but today I was so definitely that person. Anyway, y'all, I got a cat to get rid of this weekend, and I don't know how I'm going to do it. I called Ella later today and I said, hon, if that kitty comes and lives with me, I don't think Katie's going to like it very much. I said, are you going to be okay if we find Oreo a home? And she said, well, she'll have a home at your house. And I said, well, but I don't think Katie will like it very much. I said, maybe we need to find her some old lady who needs a friend, who lives alone and might need a cuddle buddy. And she said, well, ma'am, you're an old lady and you live alone. What? Girl, what did you just say? Huh. Now I'm an old lady and I live alone and I need a cuddle buddy in the form of this cat. No. I am not an old lady and I do not need a cuddle buddy in the shape of this cat. That kid is a mess. She is a mess. Y'all, I don't know what else to talk about. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about my day and my week. I hope y'all are having a good week. It's almost over. Tomorrow's Friday. We are on the countdown to Bon Jovi, and I'm so excited. And I think the only thing that's probably would be better than seeing Bon Jovi as if I had a phone call from my son, Evan. He is and always has been my golden child. And I miss him terribly. And for those of you who don't know, he's fine. He's healthy. He's married. He has a wonderful family, beautiful children. But he is not in my life for reasons and choices that I'm not even really sure of myself. But I miss him terribly. And I hope that maybe this birthday will be the day that he decides to pick up the phone and call his mom. We can pray for that. We're going to take a little break while I gather myself, and we'll be back in just a minute. Y'all sit tight. Hey guys, I'm so glad y'all hung around to hear this out. I'm okay. I really am. I just have moments that I have to let it out. And when I talk about it, I get pretty emotional. So we're not going to talk about it. We're going to end tonight with a story about a conversation I had with a neighbor last year. It showed up in my memories today and I thought it was really funny. And I just wanted to share it with you. People who live up north really have no idea what life is like down here as far as farming, living in the country, having random animals walk through your yard at any given time, etc. So, last year, my neighbor, who is originally from the north, and she's married a southern boy, and he's southern by the way of he's Florida, so he's not really a country boy either. So he doesn't have a clue about farm life and country life either. And Perry was here, and we were talking about his chicken houses, and he raises chickens commercially. We're talking 80,000 chickens at a time, not three or four in a coop. He also farms corn, peanuts, cotton, soybeans, all those staples that everybody enjoys. If you're wearing clothes right now, it's because there's a farmer somewhere who has planted and produced the cotton that has made your clothes. So anyway, we had been having a particularly dry period here. No rain. And Perry was concerned because his crops were starting to look pretty bad. And he needed the rain terribly. And I mentioned to my neighbor that he also has chicken houses. He has two chicken houses. And there are little bitties there, I think every 8 weeks or so. And that when the chickens were there, the next time he got a load of little bitties that we needed to take her daughter because she would love to see them. So we talked about needing the rain and how bad the crops needed it. And, you know, so these chickens that he raised, they go on to become your Chick-fil-A sandwiches and the little nuggets of chicken in your chicken noodle soup and those kind of things. So she was so excited to hear that. She just couldn't believe that, you know, I don't know where she thought the chickens came from for those items of food. But anyway, she was so excited to hear that. So the next morning, we get up and it is pouring rain. I mean, the heavens have opened and we are just getting rain by gazillions of gallons. Such a blessing, because of course the crops needed them terribly. Such a blessing. And later that morning, I got a text message from my neighbor, and she said, "Oh, Miss Sherry, I know Mr. Perry is so thrilled for all this rain." She said, "I know those chickens are happy. Hashtag chickens love rain. Hashtag Chick-fil-A sandwiches just got bigger." Y'all almost fell out. This child thought that the rain was going to make those chickens bigger, and that we were thankful for the rain for the chicken's sake. I have never laughed so hard in my life. I texted her back and I said, "Baby girl, we weren't concerned about the rain for the chickens. The chickens have all the water they want in their feeders and in their water tubes. We needed the water for the crops, for the corn and for the soybeans and everything else." Well, she was so embarrassed, bless her heart. But we laughed. And we laughed and we laughed. Because Chick-fil-A sandwiches just got bigger. Anyway, I thought that was pretty funny. You don't ever know. Bless it, she's learning all kinds of things. Y'all have a good night. Go get you some Chick-fil-A. Ask for those big Low Country chickens. Write that down.